Acts chapter 10, verse number 30 through verse number 44. Amen. Amen. And it reads as follows. Cornelius answered, 4 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour, at 3 p.m. And suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good for you to come. Now, we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day, and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Verse 42 says, he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. I can't stop there, can I? Amen, amen, amen. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So we look at this story found in Acts chapter 10 and Acts chapter 11. I want to think about this idea: transformed and empowered for a kingdom focus. Transformed and empowered for a kingdom focus. You will recall at the beginning of the book of Acts, the words of Jesus are recorded in verse number 8, when he says to his disciples, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus said, you're going to get power. It will be a transforming power that will make you my witnesses right where you are in Jerusalem, make you my witnesses in Judea, and in Samaria, and I'm going to take you some places that you had not thought about to the ends of the earth to tell other folk about Jesus. You're not going to get power so that you can boast about how spiritual you are. That's not going to be the reason for your power. You're not going to be able to go around boasting about what you can do. But I'm giving you power so that you can tell folk about Jesus, about a God who has loved them so much that he would send his son to die for their sins and redeem them from an empty way of life, about a God who saw you in your mess and made preparation before you knew anything about it. Oh, that's sound stuff right there. Because there's somebody in a mess right now, and you think God don't know about your mess. Can I tell you that he's the God who knows your beginning from your end? Can I tell you that he's the God who sees you right where you are? That's good news. You may not know what his strategy is. You may not know what his approach is going to be, but I can tell you this. If you hide yourself in the shelter of the Most High God, God's got an answer for you. He says, I see you, even when you think I don't see you. It's because nothing is hidden from my sight. Nothing is hidden from my eyes. When they try to cover you up, I still see you. Mm-hmm. And when you try to hide, he said, you can't hide from me. Adam, where are you? You know how it is. I don't know. You've had babies, grandbabies. You know how babies are when they're growing up, right? And they learn how to play hide and seek. And they're hiding in plain sight, right? You know how they cover up their eyes and talk about, you can't see me? That's the way we are when we try to hide from God. We can't hide from him because he is the God who has eyes that see throughout. They range throughout the earth. He sees everything. He pierces the darkness. I think it is in Psalm 139 where the psalmist says, where can I go? Away from your presence. No matter how high I go, no matter how far east or west I go, no matter how low I go, what I've discovered is that I cannot hide from you. And brothers and sisters, I want you to know that you cannot hide from God. And that's good news. Somebody said, all right, Jonah. You remember Jonah? He did try to hide to no avail. To no avail, God sees you, God knows you. And when you have been called by God, God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And he will find you, and he will rescue you, and he will use individuals that he has identified, whom he has given his spirit, to be your witness for him. Amen. Ain't you glad to be a witness? Amen. I'm glad to be a witness. I'm glad to be in his army. Amen. I'm glad and I'm willing to go wherever he tells me to go, when he tells me to go, and to say what he tells me to say, because I know that when I speak his words have power. That when I operate in his timing brings deliverance. So send me, as the song said, I'll go. Amen. So Jesus said to them, I'm going to fill you with my spirit. And I'm going to give you power so that you can be my witnesses. Because we got a plan going on. We've got something going on that Jesus said, I didn't come and suffer just so that you 12 can be redeemed. I didn't come and suffer just so that the nation of Israel could be redeemed. In Isaiah, the word is said that he is so big that it's a shame to try to keep him to one people group. So he is going to be a light for all the nations and for all mankind. But in order for that message to get out, in order for that message to go across the world, he had to empower witnesses to tell about who he was and is. So the Spirit came to transform men and women so that they could be empowered for a kingdom focus. Amen. Our story today, as you've been reading through the book of Acts, we're at chapter 10 and 11. We've stopped here because if you've been reading along with us, you should be at about chapter 14 by now. And today, if you've already read, you would have read about chapter 15, where an interesting discussion takes place in what is known as the Jerusalem Council. But however, if you didn't read it yet, I know that you have it on slate to read it this afternoon. And again, I say to you, even though we are reading one chapter a day, I don't want to limit you to one chapter a day. Amen. You are free to eat as much of it as you can handle and enjoy. And can I just encourage you, don't let one time be enough. Amen. Don't let one time be enough. It's okay. Don't say, oh, I already read that or I've already listened to that, so I don't need to read it or listen to it again. Amen. I see. I know y'all just like me. Here's what happens. I've got this problem where I will get a favorite song. I like that song. And I'll put that song on repeat. And it'll keep playing over and over again because I like the song and the song ministers to me and the song makes me feel good and it reminds me. So I'm playing it over and over again. It's almost like I don't get tired of the song. My kids, it used to drive my kids crazy when they would have to ride with me. And daddy, why are you always listening to that same song? Are you not? Okay, Mel, be quiet back there. She's been a witness. She said, yeah, he got that problem. He got that problem. There's more than one song, Dad. You can listen to another song. But here's the deal. We'll listen to some things over and over again. And what I want to encourage you is to allow the Word of God to saturate you. Keep reading it. Keep listening. Keep letting it soak in. Because what you discover is each time you read it, you get a new revelation, fresh. Because each time you listen to it again, you're in a different place than where you listened to it before. It doesn't matter that if it was 5 minutes ago, 5 minutes from now, you won't be the same person that you were 5 minutes ago. And so because the Word of God is living, it's alive and it's active, he meets you right where you are. And suddenly the revelation, the growth that took place 5 minutes ago, now he enlightens you and gives you new understanding that he couldn't give you 5 minutes ago. And so you keep reading it, keep rehearsing it, and keep letting it soak deep down inside the citadels of your heart. Amen. And so you should be at about chapter 15 by the end of the day. But today we're at chapters 10 and 11. This is an important chapter in the history of what the Spirit is doing with the people of God. Because here in this chapter, in chapters 10 and 11, we get a chance to see how God is moving through the different people groups. It began on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem, where it was the apostles, those followers of Jesus Christ, where the Spirit of God came and rested up on them. And you remember what happened there. So many folks from around different places that they were able to witness. And on that day, there were 3,000 men and women who were saved because of the message that Peter preached about Jesus Christ being the risen Savior. They believed and they were saved. And then from there, the word continued to spread. And as on last week, we talked about Stephen and we talked about him being stoned because of the witness, because of the false accusations that were placed against him. But his stoning led to persecution upon the church. And so while Jesus had said to his disciples, you are going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and all the other parts of the earth, they got happy and comfortable in Jerusalem. Everything was good in Jerusalem because the people were receiving the word. In Jerusalem, the church was born. In Jerusalem, there were men and women who were being united on one accord, so much so that it says that among that group, that there were no needy persons among them. That's amazing, because folk no longer had their own stuff that they said belonged to them. It's when they discovered that someone in their group had a need. Sometimes they would take stuff that they owned and they would go sell it so that they could bless somebody else. If they had surplus, they would take out of their surplus and sow it in somebody else's life, because now they've been transformed and empowered for a kingdom focus. No longer are they thinking about how much can I acquire, but now they're saying what I have belongs to the Lord. And I'm willing to take it and use it to bless my brothers and sisters in the kingdom. And so they took what they had and sowed it into the lives of others, all because of the transforming power of the Spirit of God in their lives. Here's the truth of the matter, brothers and sisters. When the Spirit of God grabs you, and when he gets you, and when he fills you up, that you will not be the same. Amen. Well, let me say it this way. If you're the same person you were when you first claimed to know Christ, in your perspective, hasn't changed. Dare I suggest that the Spirit of God has not yet grabbed you, filled you, and shook you up? Don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you what the testimony says. If your tongue functions the same way it did when you profess the hope in Jesus Christ, and there has been no change, because you said that this is just who I am. Lord, help. Don't get mad at me. It produces transformation. It produces change. It changes the way I think. It changes the way I talk. It changes my appetite. It changes me. And if there is no change going on in your life, there's no change going on in your perspective. You're not allowing the Spirit to have his way. Amen? Because when the Spirit has his way, he brings about change, brings about transformation, and he moves you from being self-centered to other-centered. He moves you from being at the center of your, you know, I'm the center, I'm on the throne of my life. He removes you from being the ruler of your life. And he reminds you that no, you are not your own. You have been bought with a price, that Jesus Christ is not only Savior, you know, we like to say that word, but he is also Lord. Amen. And when he is Lord, that means that you are no longer in control, that you no longer rule your destiny. Now you've been saying that my life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. God, I belong to you. You tell me what to go and what to do, and I'll do it. There's no such thing as that wasn't. I didn't read that in the fine print. You know how it is, right? You didn't read your agreement. You didn't read your contract, and all of a sudden God asked you to do something that you didn't read. And when God gives you fresh revelation, you don't look at God and say, "Now, wait a minute. Hold up." No, you move to a place of where you say, "I didn't know that was a part of the deal." But nonetheless, because you say so, I'm willing to do what you told me to do. Amen? Because when you have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, He has filled you with His Spirit, there is transformation and change that comes about, an empowerment that comes about, not for your kingdom, but for His kingdom. Amen? And again, if you're not experiencing it, don't leave here today without laying it down. Because it is not His intent that you would walk with Him all your life and be the same. You're missing out upon His purposes for you. He has called you to be a witness for the kingdom. So we get to Acts chapter 10 and 11, and it starts talking about the spread of the gospel. We've seen it in Jerusalem. Persecution comes, and then there's an evangelist by the name of Philip who goes, and he's spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. You've read this. I'm just doing a little quick recap. You've read this. The evangelist moves, and he's spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. And wherever Philip goes, as he talks about Jesus Christ, men and women are giving their lives to Jesus. And when he leaves Jerusalem and he starts going throughout Judea, one of the stops that he makes is a place called Samaria. And when he goes to Samaria, he takes the good news of Jesus Christ to Samaria. The people believe in Jesus. And so now what was spoken in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, is being lived out and being fulfilled. Part of it had to come because of persecution that came against the believers. They had to leave the city because those who were in power wanted them dead. So when they left, they took the good news, which means that sometimes persecution comes your way. But when persecution comes your way, it doesn't change your purpose. Amen? When you've got to be moved from one location to another, because of persecution, that doesn't mean that God has revoked His calling in your life. Ooh, that's good. Yeah. Because, you know, we think that where we start is where we're supposed to finish. Now, sometimes God has got something in mind that you know nothing about. But His purpose in your life stands firm. And what Philip did is when he left Jerusalem, he took what he knew. He said, "I'm going to go, and wherever I go, people are going to hear about Jesus. I'm going to go, and wherever I go, I'm going to tell them about a Savior who's been raised from the dead and who saves." And that's what he did. He took forth the good news of Jesus Christ. And so now the word of God, the witnesses of God, they're going from Jerusalem, Judea, and now in Samaria. So what he has said is His word is true. From Samaria to the other parts of the earth. This story then in Acts chapter 10 and in Acts chapter 11 becomes extremely important. So much so that as you read that, what you discover is that this story is repeated several times in those two chapters. Because there's a point to be made, an emphasis to be made, as the principle or the word of God is moving from Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, it is getting ready to extend to all of mankind. And so now in Acts chapter 10 and 11, what we discover is that the truth of God, Jesus as a Savior for the Gentile nations, is about to be revealed. And it is God, as He is teaching Peter, that Peter received his power to be transformed with the kingdom focus. that he is changing the way Peter thinks about people. He's changing the way Peter thinks about his purpose. He's changing the way Peter then applies what God has given him so that now he carries forth the hope in the good news. You remember Peter. We've talked about Peter. I think it is in Mark chapter 1 in verses 16 through 18 where we hear about the call of Peter. It says that Jesus, as he was walking along the Sea of Galilee, saw Peter. And he said to Peter, whose name was Simon at that time, and his brother Andrew, they were there casting a net. And Jesus said, come, follow me. And then he said something interesting to them. He said, and I will make you fishers of men. Leave what you're doing. Come follow me. And I'm going to make you a fisher of men. So we know that Peter then follows him because it says that at once they left their nets and followed him. So Peter then begins to follow Jesus. He begins to be with Jesus. He begins to walk with Jesus. Peter then is a witness, as he declared in his message to Cornelius's household. He said that we were with him and we saw him. We saw all that he did while he was walking upon the earth. Not only that, we witnessed the fact that he was crucified. We witnessed the fact that he was in the tomb. We witnessed the fact that he was raised because he came and he hung out with us. We were witnesses to what he had done. Jesus said, I'm calling you from being a fisher of fish to being a fisher of men. But you and I know that some transformation had to take place. Amen? Because the text, the Gospels, give us enough history about Peter to let us know that Peter had a lot of stuff to be worked out. Amen? Listen, that's good news. That is good news for folk like me who got a lot of stuff to be worked out. Amen? That's good news for folk like you that's got a lot of stuff to be worked out. You got a lot of internal stuff that's got to be worked out. You got a lot of stuff that you were raised with that's got to be worked out. You got a lot of stuff that causes you to sometimes act in a racist or prejudiced manner that has to be worked out. You've got some stuff that you get caught up in this world system that has to be worked out. That's good news. That's good news for you and for me and for other folk in whom you will carry the good news of Jesus Christ. Because what it reminds you that if he worked it out in Peter's life, if he worked it out in your life, then that means he can also work it out in the life of that individual that you're dealing with, and that when you're looking at them, you just ain't got no hope. Oh, y'all act like I'm by myself. Come on, y'all. Y'all know there are some people you just want to write off. No? Come on, huh? Yeah, there are some folk. You know what? I ain't doing nothing else for you. You don't appreciate it. And I already see you ain't going to change. Ain't no hope for you. Yeah, sometimes we mistakenly get confused thinking that it's what we do that brings about change. Forget that it's not by might nor by power, but it's by his spirit. We forget that we've been called to be planters and waterers, that we sow the word and allow the word to do the work and the spirit to do the work. We think that what we've done when we've invested our energy is that we're looking for results from what we've done. You know how it is. We plant, but we don't go pray. Yeah. If you're planting and not praying, don't worry. You ain't gonna see no results. Because it's all about you. See, when you pray, what you're doing is saying, God, I've done the planning, but I know that it is you who causes the increase. God, I've done the planning, but I know that it is only you that can effect the change. And so now that I've done my part, I'm coming back and I'm crying out to you, God, to take that which you told me to do and now produce fruit out of it. Because the change, the transformation that, Lord, we're wanting to see, I can't do it, but I know you can. I know you can, God, because I've seen it in my life and I've seen it in other folks' lives. I know that, God, you're able to take a mess and make a masterpiece out of it, because that's what you specialize in. See, that's why your testimony becomes important. Amen. Every now and then you need to remind yourself of where you came from. Amen. You get to living so good, you forgot where you were when he found you. And then when you forget where you were, you start looking at other folk like, ooh. But you need to remember that your boo-boo stink too. Amen. You need to remember that. And so sometimes you gotta remind yourself of where he delivered you from and where he rescued you from. And the best way to do that is just through a prayer of gratitude. Amen. Paul talked often about where he was and what he did and what he was like. He used it as an introduction to his ability to reach other folk. You and I, likewise, need to be thinking about how he delivered us. And the reason I say the best way to do it is through a prayer of gratitude is because every time you remember where you were, you can thank God for delivering you. Amen. That you don't need to be in denial about where you were, who you were, how you thought, the kind of stuff you were involved in. You can just thank God for his grace. You can thank God that while you were in your mess, he didn't leave you there, but he came and he rescued you and he delivered you. And let me tell you, when you start giving gratitude for what he has done, it'll set you on fire, because you'll remember that you have been transformed, changed, and empowered so that you can have a kingdom focus. Amen? Gratitude, 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 gratitude. So Peter, told that he would become a fisher of men, had to go through transformation, because there was a lot of stuff in Peter that needed to be changed. What we discovered is that Jesus poured the word into Peter. Because Jesus was the word, and he constantly poured the word into Peter. We see the evidence of that in many cases where Peter stands up, he speaks, he's speaking the word. So the word becomes critical to transformation in your life. There can be no true transformation for the kingdom if you're not allowing the word to be the foundation. Amen? Not a good self-help book. Some of us want to improve. Amen. Improvement is good. But this is a book that will help you improve in ways that you don't know you need to improve. Amen? Because, you know, when we go get a good self-help book, I'm going through the list. Oh, yeah, that's what I want to focus on. Mm-hmm. We choosing. We picking. And we're picking because we think that particular character trait or whatever is something that's critical and important. But when you're going through this book reads you. As you're reading it, it reads you. And you'd be like, I didn't even know that about me. And then as you keep reading it and he's revealing who you are, he then says, but now I've got the answer. It's a problem, but I can fix it. as he says, because I'm the fixer, right? And so when you're reading this book, he helps you address what might be called blind spots, right? Because the Spirit shines a light up on you. He takes care of those blind spots, those rough areas, because it is his intent that as you are transformed, as you are changed, as you are empowered, that you are moving from being self-focused to being focused on the kingdom. And so then he is equipping you so that you are capable of being a good witness for him. I like this story in Acts chapter 10, chapter 11, because it reveals for us some truths about Peter, about Cornelius, and about God. When Peter was being called to be a fisher of men, Peter could not envision or even think about one day he would be going into the house of a Gentile man. It's revealed in this story. You might need to go back and read Acts chapter 10 and 11 again, because Peter in his story reveals how he felt about Gentiles. He even interpreted the law of God to say that, you know what, you're not supposed to be associated with them because he called Gentiles unclean. And in the vision that God gave to Peter while he was sitting on the roof getting ready to have something to eat, God gave him a vision that helped him understand that listen, Peter, you didn't make anything. Listen, Peter, you didn't create anything. Listen, Peter, you ain't got a heaven or a hell to put anybody else in. Peter, listen, you cannot call anything unclean that I made clean. Peter, your job is to go forth and do what I called you to do, regardless of all that stuff that you've got going on. See, there was some stuff that needed to be worked out in Peter. As he is there, God is working it out. And I love the progression, the way God does. Oh, this is good to me, y'all. I'm sorry. Because I'm just thinking about how God does stuff. It's not just a shock moment where he all of a sudden just impresses up on Peter. He's got to change. Peter is walking with Jesus, and as Peter is walking with Jesus, one day they need to go to a place, through a place called Samaria. They were actually headed somewhere else, but Jesus said, I've got to go through Samaria. His disciples said, what do you mean you got to go through Samaria? You know we have another route to go around Samaria because we don't fool with them dogs. Because they thought of Samaritans as dogs. But Jesus said, no, I got to go through Samaria because I got a divine appointment that I need to go meet. I got to go meet this woman there. I got some business to handle. And because they were not ready for what was about to take place, Jesus told them, listen, boys, y'all go ahead and go get us something to eat. And I'm going to sit here and wait till y'all get back with the food because I'm a little bit tired. And so he sends them away because he know they ain't ready. And see, sometimes God says, I've got something for you, but you ain't ready for it yet. But I can't allow your not being ready to prevent what I am going to do. So you go ahead and go over there, right? So as Jesus is sitting by this well, this woman comes to get some water in the middle of the day, and Jesus has a conversation with her. We know this as the story about the Samaritan woman at the well found in John chapter 4, and they have this conversation, and it turns out that this is a woman that has had, what, I think about 5 husbands. She's been married 5 times. So I guess her reputation, because it don't talk about whether she was a widow or anything. It just says she had been married 5 times. And the fact that she is at the well in the middle of the day indicates that, you know what, she didn't want to go and be there when the other folks were there. She waited for an opportune time. And to make matters worse, maybe she had got soured on marriage, because it says that the guy that she was with right now, they wasn't married. She said, I've done this thing 5 times. I'm not going to do it no more. I need the companionship, but I ain't getting married. No, 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 no. Mm-mm. But nonetheless, Jesus meets with her and begins to talk with her. And she too then conveys the same attitude that Peter has, because she looks at Jesus and says, how are you, a Jewish man, gonna have the audacity to talk to me, a Samaritan woman? You know we don't get along. You already know. You're not just going to talk to us, but then you're going to have the audacity to ask me for a drink? You lost your mind. But because Jesus has a kingdom focus, does not allow the stereotypes that have settled within those nations, within those people, to prevent him from doing the will of God. Brothers and sisters, that's where you and I have to be. If we're going to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, we can't allow the stuff of the culture to prevent us from doing the will of God. Amen. We can't do it. We can't do it. Jesus, as you know, in that transaction with that woman, finally convinces the woman that he is there to give her life, to give her an opportunity to experience God at a whole new level. She hears him, responds favorably to him, and then she runs off and tells everybody in the city, I just met a man that told me everything I ever did. Could this be the one that we've been looking for? And then the folks came out in response to what she said, because they wanted to see this man, Jesus. But you know, before she ran back, the boys then came back. And they like, what's going on here, Jesus? Again, we didn't know this was part of the package. You want us hanging out with Samaritans? Because remember what happened was when she came back, Jesus stayed in that community for a couple of days. His disciples are saying, you got us here? But with Jesus being who he is, you know, you're not going to say anything crazy to Jesus, right? You're just going to hang out with him and see what happens. And so then that becomes Peter's first introduction to this whole idea of, Peter, you got to change the way you think about God's people. You've got to get this idea out of your mind that you as a Jewish man are superior to anybody else. You've got to get this junk out of your mind that causes you to elevate yourself above others and call them dogs. The same God that created you created them. The same God that gave them life is giving them life. Peter, you got to change the way you think. And so it becomes the first introduction to where Peter is having to change his mind. So when Philip goes down to Samaria and he carries forth the good news of Jesus Christ, it says that the people believed in Jesus, but it says that they were not filled with the Spirit of God. And so when the folks back in Jerusalem heard what was going on in Samaria, they sent Peter and John down to Samaria because of what Jesus was already doing in Peter's life. And because of the work of the Spirit of the living God, Peter now can go to Samaria without a whole bunch of hangups. And so when Peter goes down to Samaria and he discovers that, yep, the people have believed in Jesus Christ. That's all that seems to matter to Peter now, is that they put their hope in Jesus Christ. So after he discovers that they believed in Jesus, it says that Peter now, along with John, lays hands up on the people and pray for them. And Samaria now receives the Spirit of the living God. Peter is a witness to the move of God and the power of God from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria. But wait, we still got to get to the rest of the world. And that's where Cornelius and his family comes in. Because in Acts chapter 10, Cornelius is described as a devout man, as a God-fearing man, as a man who loved God, who was generous enough to take from what he had and give to the poor. And it says that as he was doing all of these things, even though he was a Gentile, it says that his prayers and his gifts went up as a memorial offering before God. Because God, in his infinite wisdom, in his plan, has planned to use Cornelius to be able to open the door of the gospel for the Gentiles. Now, Peter was okay with Samaritans, but wait a minute, Gentiles? Fortunately, Peter is responsive to the Spirit of God. And he is allowing God to bring about change and transformation in the way he thinks. He's allowing God to come in and impact him at a whole new level. So when he is there and he is waiting for dinner to be prepared, God opens up his eyes and gives him this vision that allows this sheet to come down from heaven. And all of these seemingly unclean animals are walking around. The Spirit of God says to Peter in this vision, rise up, kill, and eat. If you're hungry, here's some victuals. Go ahead and help yourself. Peter, as you know, Peter said, no. I've never allowed anything unclean or impure to enter in my mouth. I will not do it. That's when God says to him, his Spirit says, don't you dare call anything impure, unclean, that I have made, that I have made clean. And this is how we know how entrenched this was in what was required. One time wasn't enough. Because when it happened the first time, he was still struggling. So it says that it had to happen three times. Three times before Peter says, I still don't know what this means, but I'm waiting for what you want to reveal. And so he's ready to respond favorably to God. And about that time, those that Cornelius had sent to get Peter shows up at the house. Isn't God's timing amazing? It's amazing how God, a few days prior, had showed up in a vision or sent an angel to show up and speak to Cornelius and tell him to send and get Peter. And when Cornelius responds in obedience to what God has said, sending a couple of his servants along with one of his devout soldiers, when they show up, God is preparing Peter to respond to the request. Isn't God amazing? I don't know. We can stop right there and just talk about the timing of God and how you can trust him to do what he said he will do when he said he would do it, even if you didn't know about it. Amen. See, you don't have to know all the details, do you? Amen. Walking by faith means that you don't know all the details. Walking by faith simply means that I'm going to believe what God said. I'm going to respond favorably to what God has done, and I'm going to allow God to work out what he wants to do in his own timing. Peter is ready to respond, and he goes back to Cornelius' house, and he recounts for Cornelius all that he has witnessed, all that he has seen, and begins to tell him the good news of the gospel. In Acts chapter 10 is really one of my favorite verses. I know I say that a lot because I have a lot of favorite verses. I do. Amen. Genesis through Revelation. Chapter 10, verse 38, one of my favorite verses. It says, As Peter is describing Jesus, this is Peter at Cornelius' house. He's describing this. He says, you know, and I'm going to read verse 37. He said, you know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. I mean, that's one of my favorite verses. There's still more. But it talks about how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power. But he didn't do it just to be doing it, right? You got to keep reading this, because this is where it gets good, because he says, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. He's transformed with a kingdom focus. He was empowered with a kingdom focus, and he went about because he had been anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power, and his job was to confront the works of the devil. I'm gonna sit down lest I wear you out, but here is what you and I need to know, is that you've been saved and you've been redeemed, you've been transformed, you've been empowered so that you can confront the works of the devil. Oh, see, y'all didn't get excited. You were not transformed and changed just so that you could say that you've been transformed and changed, so that you can experience a big house. I ain't got nothing wrong with no big house. But I want you to know that that's not the extent of what God wants to do. Just so that you can drive a fancy car. I love fancy cars. I'm going to be honest. I love fancy cars. I love bells and whistles. Amen. The truth will set you free. I love bells and whistles. Amen. Leather seats that heat up in the winter. Keep you cool in the summer. Amen. I love it. I ain't by myself. Amen. But that is not the extent of God's what we call blessing. See, that's the kind of stuff we equate to when we talk about God is blessing us. That's the kind of stuff we equate to how God is blessing us. What he did was save you and redeem you, filled you with the Holy Ghost so that you could be transformed and empowered, so that you could have a kingdom focus, and so that you could press into the darkness and break down the works of the devil. While you're in the midst of enjoying the luxuries of life, and by the way, he says that friendship with the world can cause a problem. But he says he has called you to be a witness. He has called you to be a soldier. He has called you to stop the move of the devil in your life and in other people's lives. And what he wants you and me to do is to rise up when we see the devil at work and begin to fight like we need to fight. Yeah, yeah, yeah. When you see a brother or sister that's being held down by the works of the devil, you need to rise up and fight. Amen. When you see folk who are being overcome by the schemes of the enemy, you need to rise up and fight. Why? Because you have been anointed, filled with the Holy Ghost and with power, so that you can stand against the works of the devil. But you and I know that this is by faith. That you don't boldly stand up and fight against the devil if you ain't got no faith. But what you need to do is believe and know that Jesus came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He came that you might have life and that you might have peace in the midst of confusion. He came that you might have life and that you might be filled with joy no matter what you're going through. He came that you might have life and that you might be an overcomer. That there is no weapon that has been formed against you that will be able to prosper. All because you have understood that you have been anointed with the Holy Ghost and filled with power to declare to the devil, not here and not now. And it means that you must open up your mouth and declare the truth and stand against when the enemy presses in. Amen. When you see the enemy got your kids, you've got to press in and say, no, not them. They belong to the Lord. Yeah. You've got to fight. You've got to fight. You've got to do your part. You've got to declare that it is only in the name of Jesus Christ and by his spirit that these chains will be broken. You've got to make up your mind that I won't quit until these chains are broken. That is why I do not walk by faith or by sight, but by faith. Oh, I'm not seeing the result that I want to see yet. I'm going to keep fighting. I'm going to keep believing. I'm going to keep pressing because I know that I have been saved and I have been redeemed to cause the devil problems. Not just me, but you too. We've been called to cause the devil problems so that wherever we show up, we bring the light of God's word. And we bring the power that comes from the anointing of the Holy Ghost into our space, into our experience, such as it can be said, the kingdom of God is here. Amen. You've been transformed. You've been empowered to press into the darkness so that men and women will come to know Jesus Christ and be set free. You must rise up and fight and press into your purpose, knowing that it's not just about you, but it's about every man or woman God has sent you to be a witness to that they might be redeemed. That means that you can't get tired, call folks stubborn. Amen. But you need to remember that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the principalities, the dark world. You need to remember that the enemy ain't going to let go easy. So you got to go in with fighting in mind. Amen? And not giving up until you experience victory. Let's pray together. Father, your word declares that as Peter was speaking, that those who had gathered to hear believed what he was saying and that your Holy Spirit came upon them as they heard the message. Thank you for opening the door to the Gentiles. For being a God who desires to have people from every tribe, every nation, and every language. Thank you for the transformation that you brought about in Peter's life that allowed him to speak your word with such boldness, no matter the audience. Whether it was the Sanhedrin, whether it was the ruling council, or whether it was the common people, he spoke with boldness as a witness for who Jesus Christ is. Father, we beseech thee in the name of Jesus that that same boldness would rest upon us, that we would not shrink back, but we would boldly declare there is no other name by which people can be saved except the name of Jesus. Give us a boldness that allows us to see the work of the devil and stand against it. Declare that chains are broken, that men and women are set free. Thank you for the example of Peter and for reminding us that he was just an individual just like we are, but that he was surrendered to you through obedience. And because of that, you were able to transform him and empower him and give him a focus on the kingdom that changed the lives of every individual that he encountered. That's what we desire. Help us to be your witnesses wherever we go, beginning in our homes, then in every space that we walk into. Help us to have a testimony and live a life that demonstrates that our hope is in you. We thank you in Jesus' name for your call and for your faithfulness to the call. In his name, amen.